And for our next story, we stay in Everett. The city is working to make sure that when someone decides that he or she is ready to get help, like really ready, there's treatment available. And to do that, Everett has created a scholarship. Sound Effects' Kevin Kniestad has the story.
On the 10th floor of the Wall Street building in Everett, in a very quiet conference room with a beautiful view of the Puget Sound, I meet Caitlin Dowd. She's a social worker embedded with the Everett Police Department, and this isn't where she normally finds herself on a typical day of work.
Kind of our office, so to speak, is the front seat of a police car, essentially. So we do all of our work mostly out of the cars and out in the field, you know, connecting with clients or community members or providers.
And when she says clients...
Most of our clients are individuals who are experiencing homelessness, who need some sort of service to assist them in getting stable.
And many are struggling with chemical dependency.
We're seeing lots of heroin, a lot of heroin, and then meth as well. And it's, you know, smoking or IV use or pills. It really depends.
And Caitlin Dowd says that every person is different. For some people, simple detox might do the trick. In some cases, an in-state 30-day Medicaid-funded treatment facility may do. But since 2016, the city of Everett has been part of another avenue towards helping people get the right treatment for the right person by being part of a program called PARI.
The PARI program is the Police Assisted Addiction Recovery Initiative. It was a program that was started in Gloucester, Massachusetts by a police chief who, you know, finally was like, you know, we can't arrest our way out of this problem.
What they decided to do was build partnerships with treatment facilities. And very quickly, other police departments around the country started to follow suit, including the Everett Police Department.
So now we have treatment facilities who will scholarship a treatment bed for police departments who have embedded social workers or police departments that are just partnered with PARI and want to get folks help instead of send them to jail.
So it might not be what you typically think when you hear the word scholarship. What it means is that someone who is struggling with addiction can get a bed in a treatment facility free of charge not only to them, but also to the city. The facility itself covers the tab. And that's worth noting because these facilities are private and can normally come with a hefty price tag.
I mean, it could be anywhere from $20,000 to $40,000 to $60,000 a month.
A month. And unlike the 30-day in-state Medicaid-funded treatment facilities, treatment at private facilities can last up to 2 years. So the savings is huge. But there are a couple of catches. First, there is only one participating private facility in the state of Washington in the scholarship program, so if someone wants in, they're likely heading out of state for their treatment. And second, you've got to be serious about wanting to go.
So we usually put them through a couple tests. Like, why don't you go to the doctors and get, you know, an exam to make sure you're all healthy? We don't need to see the results, but do that and let me know when that's done. Why don't you go and get a new ID? If you need help with that, you can let us know. But we try to do a lot to see how much are you going to do to show that you're really, really invested in this.
Okay, so you have to be serious and you have to be ready to go. There are a limited number of beds, so when a bed opens up, you take it. One of the people who was suffering from addiction in Everett is Felicia Davidson. I talked to her via Skype from Florida, where she lives now. I'll get to that in a minute. But she was ready. The story with Felicia's addiction is a common one. She's had severe scoliosis since she was a kid, and in her late teens, her mother gave her some of her medication for the pain. It started with Vicodin and progressed to other pills like Percocet and Oxycontin.
And then that just, like, over time, like, I liked how it took my pain away, but it took, like, all the pain away, like, emotionally and physically. So I was like, hey, I like feeling like this.
And there was emotional pain that Felicia wanted to have taken away following the death of her boyfriend when he was in Hawaii.
He was partying and driving a moped and got hit head on. And they don't have a helmet law in Hawaii or anything. So that's when I was like, it. Like, I don't care. I just want to get high.
Things didn't get a whole lot easier for Felicia after that. She found a new guy, but he was a user too, and that relationship turned out to be abusive. Pills got to be too expensive, and heroin made its way into the picture.
He pawned everything I ever had worth of value. Like, it just goes back to, like, I had no self-respect for myself at that time, and I just put up with it.
Eventually, they lost their house, and Felicia decided she had enough and moved back in with her dad. But the problems didn't stop there. Felicia had reached a point where she found herself asking random strangers in Everett if they had anything she could use to get high.
And I ended up meeting this one guy, and I ended up doing something like not like with like no morals. Because I was in my dad's car, and like he offered me all this and like I was hesitant, but in the moment I like didn't care, and then I started caring like right during, and I was like, no, I gotta go. And so I like kicked him out of the car, and I went back to my dad's, and I like broke down and started crying, and I was like, you know, that's not me, like this, I gotta, like, I'm not about to like start, you know, like who am I, like, you know, hooking up with some guy for drugs, like that's not who I want to be.
It was at this point that she realized that she couldn't do it alone. She started going to Narcotics Anonymous meetings. A woman at one of the meetings added Felicia to a Facebook group where Felicia saw a post about the scholarship program in Everett. That's when she called Caitlin Dowd, the social worker.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I was crying when I called her the first time, like, and I was just like, I need help.
So we decided to meet at Starbucks and kind of talk about her situation and really what her intentions were as far as getting help. She really needed to go to treatment. She felt that was the best thing for her. So she would need to call or text to check in every day, and she was very motivated, and it was very obvious. You can really tell when someone's motivated.
After a couple weeks, Caitlin was able to find Felicia a bed in South Florida. Felicia packed a bag and was on a plane for treatment in a private facility, a former hotel, at no cost to her or the city. But that's when the real work started.
I mean, physically it sucked. Just like the body ache for me, like, because I have chronic pain, like that was like the hardest thing to get used to. The emotionally, like all the that like you avoid by getting high, like you have to deal with it.
Felicia fought through and completed her treatment, and instead of coming back to Everett, she stayed in South Florida, got a job, a dog, and a place to live, and she stayed clean. She decided to stay in Florida, at least for the time being, partly because the old familiar triggers of Everett wouldn't be there. But there are new problems. Just a week before we talked, a relationship that she had become deeply involved in came to a stop, and Felicia faced the challenge of coping without drug use.
He straight up told me that he was going to make me fall in love with him, and he did. And then he just ghosted me and stopped talking to me. And, like, it's really hard because it makes you feel like there's something wrong with you. It's just struggle, but you're not, like, getting high as a coping mechanism, so you're just dealing with it. But dealing with it involves a lot of tears. Yeah, and a lot of, like, dog snuggles for me. Like, at least I have my dog. I know he loves me. But I'm just, like, immensely grateful for the program and the opportunity to, like, you know, have a life, even though it's a struggle still. Like, the fact that I'm able to wake up and, like, go about my day and not get high is, like, a blessing. You can get clean. You don't have to feel hopeless. Like, I mean, even when you feel hopeless, you don't have to get high. Like, it's possible. If I can do it, I know that, like, other people can do it.
Felicia misses her friends and family back home. She has visions of returning to the Pacific Northwest someday, this time sober and healthy for good.